Northern Railway presents Empire Builder. Empire Builder's pilot comes to you as a reminder that with all the talk about depression, there still are people and organizations who are too busy working for good times to wail about hard times. The territory served by the Great Northern Railway is busy creating prosperity, and the Great Northern Railway itself is lending a hand in this constructive endeavor. The Great Northern Railway has made available to producers and shippers throughout this great Northwest Empire a transportation service that represents the acme in dependability and efficiency. Among the services provided for shippers by the Great Northern are fast-through freights on the long hauls between terminals, speedy package car service between important shipping points, swift, long-distance refrigerator train service for food products, specialized equipment to serve such industries as the iron mines of northern Minnesota, the copper mines of Montana, and the lumber interests of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. Great Northern freight representatives, as well as travel bureaus, are located in many of the cities from which this program is broadcast. These expert traffic men will be glad to serve you.
Dog, my cat. If it ain't Bert Pond. Howdy, Bert.
Hello, old-timer.
Say, it's mighty good to be seeing you again, Bert. Quite a spell since the last time we run into each other.
Quite a spell. That was on the Empire Builder, too.
Yes, sir, it was.
Well, I can't say you've changed much, old-timer.
No.
You're looking just about the same as ever.
That's so, Bert?
Yeah, just about the same. I wouldn't say offhand that you look a bit older than you did then.
Well, thanks, Bert.
Yeah, you sure do keep spry. It beats me how you do it.
Well, maybe it's because I don't do an awful lot of worrying anymore, Bert. You know, I used to be a pretty good hand at worrying, especially over things that it wasn't no good to worry about.
Well, you never had any more worries than I had, old-timer.
You have been a powerful worrier, Pond. But me, I'm slipping. I can't do near as good a job of worrying as I used to.
Well, you don't think it's cause you're picking up in years, do you, old-timer?
No. Oh, no, it's not that. I just found out how darn foolish it was. Right when I used to be getting in my heaviest worrying licks, why, all of a sudden, I'd find out that what I was worrying about had up and gotten readjusted, like.
You don't say.
Yes, sir. That's the way it always turns out.
Well, I don't know. Now, if you had my worries...
You know, just how are things going, anyway?
Rotten.
What?
Rotten. I'm telling you, old-timer, I never saw times worse.
No, Bert. You know better than that. I remember back in 93 when you had to sell your buggy to buy a feed for your horse.
Yes, I do sort of remember something like that.
Yeah. And then you had to borrow my rig so you could go a-courting Ella Semple. You know, it always seemed odd to me that you two didn't get hitched up along about then.
Well, I reckon we would have, only, that year times was so hard.
Well, times weren't too hard for Ella. Wanted in 94, she up and married Joe Pike over in Bonner's Ferry.
Yep, 'twas June of 94. You see, I'd been waiting for times to, well, pick up a little more.
I see. But Joe Pike wasn't much set on waiting, was he? And he wasn't any better fixed than you were, Bert.
Not as well fixed, I reckon. I had to live with his folks for a while. Times were so hard. But if I'd known the four times wasn't going to last no longer than they did, well...
Say, four times never last as long as most folks figure they will, Bert. They come around every so often, but before you know it, they're gone again.
Well, they're worse right now than they've been since 93 anyway, old-timer.
Great catfish and catamounts, Bert. You sure are forgetful. Say, how about that spell in 1907? When you was staying up nights, figuring how you was going to keep the sheriff away from that little mill you had then.
Yeah, maybe you're right, huh? I was mighty worried then.
Yes, you was worried some in 1920, weren't you, Bert? You know, right after the government canceled those war contracts you had.
I sure was.
And then you had the best years you ever had. See, I guess your mill's one of the biggest in the state now, ain't it, Bert?
Well, I should hope to tell you. But I ain't taking any chances of getting caught in this here slump. The fact is, I'm on my way up there right now. And when I get there...
Yes? And what's going to happen when you get there?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. First off, I'm going to fire that darn mooning nephew of mine faster than catfish.
You are? Well, he's your superintendent, isn't he?
Well, he won't be after I get there.
Well, I always thought you was right fond of your nephew. What's come up?
Plenty. But the main thing... Well... You see, about a week ago, I wired him to cut the payroll in half.
Oh, scatter my chipmunks, Burke. You didn't do a thing like that, did you?
Yep, I sure did.
Say, I'll bet he didn't do it.
What in thunderation makes you think that?
Well, sort of intuition, I guess, Burke. You know, that nephew of yours always impressed me as being pretty cool-headed.
Cool-headed as a horse riding. Here, you wait a second now. I'll show you something. Here. Here it is. You read this.
Telegram, eh? Well, what's it about?
It's the wire he sent me when I ordered him to chop the payroll. Read it. It's only two words long.
All right, Bert, thanks. Well, it says... it says... go.
Yeah.
Bert, only two words. Reckon he didn't need to finish it, did he?
No, but I'll finish him.
No, Bert. Don't go to kicking over the traces. Say, how did your business last year compare with the business this year, or the year before?
Well, business the year before, let's see, less, way less. 8% under.
8%? Well. And you want to cut your payroll in half?
Yeah.
Say, Fred Pond, I'm plumb ashamed. Yeah, right when things are due for an upturn.
Well, I'm going to play safe. That's what I'm going to do. What makes you think things are due for an upturn?
Why, Bert, they've begun to pick up already. Every sign is pointing better times ahead.
I got to see them first. No, sir, I'm not taking chances. I'm going to whack that payroll down the minute I hit Milltown, or the minute after. Anyway, just as soon as I can bounce my nephew and that girl of his out of the yard.
Girl, did you say, Bert?
Yes, he's been shining around the girl. She's been putting all these highfalutin notions in his head.
Yeah,
you see, she's one of these here social workers.
Social worker, eh? Say, that sounds fine.
Not to me, it don't. I don't aim to have no woman snooping around my mill. Well, no Laura Graves gonna run the mill anyway.
Say, what name did you say?
Laura Graves, her name.
Laura Gray, eh? Say, you'll have to excuse me a bit, Bert.
Hey, you're not running away, are you?
Oh, no, I'll be back. Miss Gray, right here on the Empire Builder.
Thank you. Here's Walker.
Yes, sir. Coming up, sir.
What town, please?
Libby, sir. Yes, sir. This is Libby.
And do we stop here long?
No, sir. Only a minute or so. We'll be leaving right away. Beg pardon, miss. I promise to get a pillow for me.
All right, Potter. Go along with your pillows.
Mister, can I leave my baby here a moment?
What? The baby, huh?
Well, I've got to run back a moment, please.
Well, I suppose.
Oh, thank you. Baby. Baby mine. Mother's got to leave you. Father. Baby.
Well,
What a sweet baby. Your grandchild?
No, thanks. Girl left it here.
Oh, well, what sweet blue eyes it has.
Huh?
All in pink, too. Must be a girl. Is it?
How should I know? Girl left it here.
Oh.
Great gosh, all crab apples. What's that?
What's that?
Doggone it, that girl ought to be getting back here.
I've had nine myself, and I know. Now you, I
tell you, it ain't my baby. Some better girl left in it. What's that? What a train start. Hey, Potter, conductor, somebody. You're pulling off leaving this kid's mother.
Well, I can't imagine any mother leaving her baby with a person like you. I'm going right back to my seat.
Wait a minute. Listen here. Gosh, old crab apple, she's starting to cry, too. Now what am I going to do?
I've got some news for you, Miss Gray.
Oh, don't be so formal, old-timer. Call me Laura. And what's this news you have for me?
Well, you know, after I left you here in the observation lounge, then I ran into an old friend of mine, Bert Palm.
Jim's uncle?
Yep, Jim's uncle.
Oh.
Now, he's going to Milltown, too. Seems he's got one of his cautious streaks on. Planning to do a lot of whacking and slashing on the payroll and such.
I know. I saw the telegram he sent Jim.
I reckon maybe you had, but did you happen to see the answer Jim sent back?
Yes. You know, old-timer, it may sound awful, but I guess I'm responsible for it.
Well, I can't say there was any language wasted. Say, and Jim's uncle all burned up over it.
Oh, but it was so absurd, the thing he wanted Jim to do. Now, imagine cutting the payroll in half when business is only 7% under a year ago.
8%, Laura. Bert said 8%.
That shows how close he keeps track of things. It was 8%, but December sales cut it to 7.
Well, you seem to keep a pretty close check on things, Laura.
Well, I've seen the statements and the order sheets, and I've seen the inventory of reserve stock, and it's down to almost nothing. And advance orders are already picking up. Oh, I tell you, old-timer, there isn't justification for any cut in payroll.
Well, I've been trying to tell Bert that, Laura, but I don't know. You know, sometimes I think Bert can't see any further than the end of his nose. And he's stubborn as he is.
Oh, I know. But Jim won't cut the payroll. I told Jim if he carried out those orders of his uncle's, well, that I wouldn't marry him. There.
Well, now, that sort of leaves Jim betwither, doesn't it, Laura?
Well, how do you mean?
Well, if Jim don't make the cut, I reckon Bert will fire him. Then if you marry Jim, he won't have no job to keep up a home on.
It isn't his job I'm worrying about, old-timer. It's the jobs of those other workers at the mill. You know, men with families and children, and maybe nothing put aside. It's the children and mothers who suffer most.
Miss Old-timer?
Oh, someone's calling you, old-timer.
Miss Old-timer.
Hello. Well, here I am, Jackson.
Oh, no, Miss Old-timer. I've been looking all up and down the Empire Building for you.
Yeah, well, what about, Jackson?
About that baby. It needs you.
Baby? Well, what baby, Jackson?
Mr. Pond's baby.
Bert Pond's baby? Scatter my chipmunk, Jackson. Say, what on earth are you talking about?
Mr. Pond's done got a baby, Mr. Old-timer.
What?
It's about a 12-pound baby gal, and you talk on
me. Good heavens, Jackson. This sounds scandalous.
Worse than that, it's calamity.
It's what?
It's calamity.
Well, I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Mr. Pond, ever since he had the baby, he's been wanting this, wanting that, wanting to other things. He don't know what it is he is wanting.
Well?
Of course, I don't mind, but I wish he was more calm and collected-like.
Is there anything particular that he's wanting now, Jackson?
Yes, sir. You.
Me.
He's wanting you, Mr. Oldtimer.
Well, I'll have to run up and see what all this excitement is about. Say, will you excuse me, Laura?
Certainly.
Bert Bond, if this ain't a sight for sore eyes. I say, that's a mighty pretty baby you've got there holding on to that nose of yours. Is it a boy or girl?
Good gosh, old crap apples, how should I know? 50 people have asked me that already.
Now, Bert, calm down a bit.
Here I was sitting all alone, and a woman has to come and leave this baby with me.
So you've been taking care of the baby for her? Now, I sort of gathered from Jackson that the baby was fretting. And now here I find her cooing and smiling as fine as you please.
Yeah, well, that's because she's got a hold of my nose. She likes to hold on to it. If I don't let her hold on to my nose, she whimpers.
What?
Whimpers! She whimpers until I let her hold my nose again.
Oh, whimpers.
Yes, everybody's laughing at me, too.
No. Not laughing, Bert. Just smiling. You know, it always makes people feel kind of good to see a baby making over an old fella like you or me.
Well, it ain't me she likes, it's my nose. Now, you look now. I've got to take the hand away. Yeah. There you are, baby. Yeah. Now, see how much better I can talk now?
Yes, but the baby don't seem to please. Yeah, looks like she's clouding up to cry.
See, old timer, what did I tell you?
Now, here, wait a minute. Have you tried letting her hold your watch?
No, but maybe she would do that. Now, let's see. Here, baby. Here. There you are. Pretty watch. Watch go
kick-kick,
huh?
You see? She stopped fretting already.
Sure, she stopped fretting. That's a mighty fine watch. It's the watch the club gives me.
It looks like a dandy watch to me. Looks like a railroader's watch.
Yeah, keeps perfect time, just like a railroader's watch, too, and everything. Yeah, you see them things there in the fob? Yeah, they're gold nuggets from Alaska.
Hey, it sure is a pretty watch.
But hey, look out!
Oh, gosh, you threw it on the floor.
Get him, my chipmunk. That's just what she's done. Well, didn't you hear me holler?
Oh, yes, I heard you holler after she'd gone and done it. And the watch the club give me, too.
Well, now, here, I'll pick it up.
Maybe it ain't busted.
Crystal's broke.
Does it run? I said, is it running?
No. No, Bert, I don't hear no tick-tick. But the nuggets ain't hurt none, no.
Say, now look here. Darn it, the baby's starting to fret again.
Well, I guess she didn't like it, Bert, when you laid her down on the seat after she threw the watch on the floor. You know, babies are mighty touchy sometimes. Now, you better pick her up again.
Yes, I guess you're right. Here. There you go now, baby. Here. Say, old-timer.
Yeah?
Field.
What?
doggone me now. Why don't I look what I'm doing?
Bert, I guess you don't know much about babies. Oh, but, by the way, did you happen to see any package or letter or anything that might have been left with the baby?
No, I don't, sir. Yes, there was a package, but I give it to the porter to throw out. There wasn't nothing in it but some dish towels.
Dish towels?
Yeah.
I reckon, Bert, that was a mistake.
Eh? Say, old-timer, now what are we going to do here now?
Well, there's just one thing, I reckon. Say, there's a girl on this empire builder, Bert, who I understand's a mighty good hand with babies. Say, I'll go fetch her.
Oh, that's fine. Good. Is there someone you know, old-timer?
Yes, and I figure you're going to know her right well, too. You see, Bert, she's Laura Gray.
What? Here. Wootsie, you darn little skeezix.
baby. Here. Oh, I must hold it.
Well, you better be careful, miss. You better be careful where you hold it.
Well, I don't mind a little thing like that. Do I, baby kid?
Hey, you folks. Now give me time to introduce you. Mr. Pond, Miss Gray. Bert Pond.
How do you do, Mr. Pond?
How do you do?
Well, baby and I are going to have to leave you right now, because...
See, I reckon the maid on the Empire Builder can maybe help out in just such an emergency as this, Laura. You see...
Young lady, don't you keep that baby too long. It ain't yours.
Nor yours, Mr. Pond.
How
do you like that?
Well, I never. So that's Laura Gray, is it?
Yes, that's Laura Gray.
Well, you think she'll bring the baby back?
I don't know. Anyway, what difference does it make to you?
Nothing.
Yeah, I figured that, Bert.
Well, I don't think much of that mother, though. Leaving her baby here and not coming back.
Oh, you don't, eh?
No, I don't. Throwing her baby on somebody else's hands to take care of.
Well, Bert, I wouldn't be too critical until I knew something about what her problems were. You know, maybe she's had a 8% reduction in her income and is reducing overhead.
Say, now, old timer, what are you trying...
Here we are, just so. Only took a minute. And now baby's fresh as a rosebud.
Miss Gray, does it cost very much to have a baby?
Oh, yes, it does. As a system can be very expensive.
Well, I was just thinking. When times get better, I might provide for this here baby.
Well, I'm sure that would be too great an expense for you, Mr. Potter.
Oh, is that so? Well, let me tell you something, young lady. I own the mill at Milltown. I'm Jim Pond's uncle, that's who. Uncle of the fellow you're engaged to.
But now I think maybe I'll break the engagement.
Why?
Because I'm afraid that, we wouldn't agree, you and I. You're such a confirmed pessimist. You just make life unhappy for both Jim and me.
Why? What do you mean, me, a pessimist?
Worse than that, Mr. Pond. You're a calamity howler. You're one of the very men who make depression, who go about at the least flurry, knocking off payrolls and stifling business. Oh, maybe you think you're an industrial leader, but you're just a big industrial scarecrow.
Now, you look here, Miss Gray. Don't you know the time's hard? I'm cutting my payroll because I...
Oh, you never cut payroll. You just cut wages. And every man, woman, and child in America is on your payroll, whether they have jobs or not. And directly or indirectly, you have to feed them and clothe them. Oh, the sick, the aged, the orphan, and the foundling, like this baby here, are on your payroll, and old Tiger's payroll, and mine.
Why, I never heard such things.
Oh, yes, you have, but you haven't listened. Why, America's payroll, its invisible payroll, runs into millions, even in the very best of times, when every able-bodied man is employed.
You mean like these here community chests?
Well, that's just one part of the invisible payroll. And every cut you make on that visible payroll, the one you see and keep books on, every cut you make on that merely adds to America's big invisible payroll that you and I have to help pay.
Well, I must say, I never looked at it quite like that.
I know you haven't. You've only thought in terms of profits and dividends instead of in terms of human life and happiness. And when you don't think in terms of happiness and life, you're cutting profits. You know, unhappy, suffering people don't buy much.
Say, Laura's right about that, Bert.
Well...
Right now, your profits have fallen only 7%. And if you're sensible, Mr. Pond, they won't drop anymore. They'll gain.
Gain, why?
Absolutely. But the world is just about ready to start buying again. Supplies are down. Why, your own reserve stocks have almost vanished. And your part of the world, Mr. Pond, will start buying more than ever before from you. You don't keep them from it.
What do you mean, keep them from it?
By cutting production, efficiency, quality, and most of all, buying power.
Yes, well, that all sounds very well in theory, Miss Gray, but in practice now...
Oh, you have to be shown, do you? All right. Here's your example. This baby, asleep here, deserted by her mother. That baby had a job. Oh, just being a baby that her own mother could care for, bringing joy and contentment and hope. And, oh, everything worth living for to mother. And the mother had a job, too, being a mother. Why, they were the two greatest jobs in the world. The mother had another job, too, Mr. Pond, until you made that first payroll cut, the small one in Milltown, when she lost that job. 3 jobs are gone. Whom did you give them to?
Who did I give them to?
Yes, whom did you give them to? Oh, I don't want to try to imagine what the mother's job is now. Let's just think about whom you're giving this baby's job to. What orphan home is...
Now, look here. No orphan home's going to have this baby.
Oh, don't be too sure about that. You forget that I'm a social worker, and I can place this child where it's best for it. Why, you couldn't begin to care for it.
Well, now, couldn't you and Jim and I, couldn't we sort of all together? Well, now, look here. I want to help, Laura.
No, I'm afraid not. You see, Mr. Pond, this payroll slashing is sort of epidemic. One does it and another follows, just because. And just because is many a person's reason, not just a woman's reason. And if you make that 50% cut at the mill, well, I'm going to cut Jim off, too. Just because.
No, please, Miss Gray, don't you go doing that. Why think of this baby?
Oh, must I do all the thinking, Mr. Pond?
No. Yes. Oh, well. Very well, then. All right, I won't cut the payroll. Darn me, I'll add to it. From now on, you're going to be our efficiency expert. And
as nearly this baby's mother as I can possibly be. Oh, look. He's awake.
That darn little cheesy. What you move? What you move? What you move?
Hi ho, yay ho, good times are coming, good times are coming, so cheer up. Let's be carefree and start a humming, then all your troubles will clear up. Make life a song and a dance, give care a swift kick in the pants. Just yell and tell the world you're happy, good times are coming, so cheer up.
Ten years ago, when hysterical people were weeping over a so-called business depression, a great metropolitan newspaper came out boldly with the slogan, 1921 will reward fighters. Every reader of that newspaper saw himself as a potential fighter. Every manufacturer and every businessman who read that slogan took heart. 1921 did reward fighters. 1931, too, will reward fighters. Business is far from dead. It must be fought for. And those who fight will reap the rewards now as 10 years ago. The Great Northern Railway and the Western Pacific Railway are jointly engaged in a $15 million project, notably the California Extension, now under construction and to be completed and ready for operation early next year. The Great Northern Railway faces this year of 1931 with confidence. Tonight's Empire Builders Playlet again featured Harvey Hayes as the old-timer. Laura Gray, the social worker, was Lucille Husing. Bert Pond was Bob White. The baby, Betty White. And the mother, Bernadine Flynn. This is Ted Pearson speaking. Empire Builders comes to you every Monday night from the Chicago studios of the National Broadcasting Company.
And this is Westinghouse KYW, the Chicago handled and examined stations.